is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
So explain to people, if they're not familiar, what is Glide Revitalization?
Well, Glide Revitalization has been an existing nonprofit in the Glide area for a few years before this fire started in the fall. And so they were already existing and had some pretty great ideas for revitalizing the community and, you know, kind of bringing some business into the area and some fun ideas like a Sasquatch Festival, which unfortunately was put on hold due to COVID. But they were basically set up to be in a prime position to kind of join forces with the Glide Strong momentum of what happened after the fires. And through that, they have formed under their umbrella the Archie Creek Long-Term Recovery Group.
Wow.
For the area.
So a lot going on. How many people are involved?
Well, we have 7 full-time people that are working there in the office. During the week, we have a board that we answer to, which is made up of some of those staff members. And there's, I would say, probably 9 people on the board that is just directly pertaining to the Archie Creek Fire Recovery Group. And of course, that's under the Glide Revitalization Board.
Now, when you say staffed, are we now at the point of having paid folks, or are these all volunteers?
Well, we do have some paid staff now. Yes, we've been fortunate to get some funding from some organizations that have been wonderful in working with us. So we're getting paid.
So, a big response came right after the fire. People, once the word got out, people from all over the county were jumping in to help, especially folks that had particular areas of expertise or heavy equipment, things like that. So you got a lot of help in the immediate, but it's 6 months up the road. Are you seeing that same kind of support now?
No, and you know, we kind of knew early on that, of course, this is the sort of thing that would happen, especially, you know, people who are in the Roseburg area. In September, the whole area was full of smoke, and it was just painfully obvious to everyone. And, you know, now here we are down the road. It's springtime, and people are dealing with, you know, ongoing COVID and just their own, you know, daily busy lives and do-it-yourself projects. But in Glide, you know, there's a daily reminder because there's nowhere you can look up there and not realize it. But even in the Glide area, you know, the community members, it's working into spring. Everybody's got their own backyard projects going on and moving forward with their, you know, with their own lives and everything like that. And so certainly it's died down with the momentum, and we knew it would. And so we're hoping that we can build that back up a little bit going into summer. And once we get through this ash and debris, we can kind of get people to feel involved again. And so we've started a little bit and kind of recruiting through social media a little bit on the volunteer end of that, as far as saying kind of, you know, hey, remember when this happened and everyone pulled together so wonderfully, and we'd love to see that happen again, because there are there is still going to be a huge need for that.
So what kind of help is needed now or will be needed during the summer?
Well, I don't want to just limit it to summer. For the ongoing process, we could use people as far as volunteers for, even though some cleanup's been done, there's older couples that have, you know, just limbs and small debris cleanup like that that maybe didn't get taken care of with the ash and debris cleanup and stuff like that. So we have cleanup that can be helped out with. People are going to need fences rebuilt, pump houses, decks, porches, homes, barns, shops. So as far as on the volunteer end of things, we could definitely use a lot of people to reach out and get, you know, put on our list for helping out with any of those sorts of things, you know. And, some people say, well, you know, I don't know how to form a concrete pad. Well, you don't have to. I mean, if you can rake or shovel or even help out, you know, if there's, we have some need for people to help out with some extra stuff in the office, you know, those sorts of things are great also. So anybody who is possibly interested in being involved in some way can get in touch. I'm actually kind of in charge of volunteer management in our office. And so we have a database going, and I have a volunteer application and a little background check that we can do. It's no charge, and it's very simple and done online. But the other thing about the volunteer thing is that volunteers help us on the grant end, you know, when we go to fill stuff out for grants, you know, if we have a history of using volunteers and we track those hours and that information, that can also go to help us in that avenue. But in addition to volunteers, we could also use materials, you know, fencing materials, building materials, all of those things. We had a pretty good population of people who were either uninsured or underinsured. And so what we'd like to do is just be the organization there in Glide that's able to help them, you know, rebuild and get back. So those are some of the things that, you know, volunteer time and donated materials.
What are some of the larger organizations you mentioned getting some significant financial help with all this?
Right. Well, so from the very beginning, Ford Family Foundation reached out to us, and United Way, Douglas Timber Operators has been huge. So those are three off of the top of my head that I can think of that has been kind of in the thick of it as far as right from the get-go, and along the way as well. And not only has Ford Family Foundation helped financially, but they've also worked across the state, and they put on these weekly Zoom meetings for people who are affected across the state and with wildfire, and have these community building meetings, which is basically helps people compare their own experiences and kind of build on what's working and what's not working and maybe what could be fixed. So that's been great from the Ford family, and also the OCF. And so, you know, we have some great nonprofits. And then, like I said, DTO, Douglas Timber Operators, they've done a ton of work helping families directly, individuals who have kind of reached out to them, as well as helping through Glide Revitalization. And so, and I'm sure that there's you know, a list of other more private individuals, but those are some of the ones off the top of my head. And we're hoping that, of course, those relationships are going to continue. And I have a pretty good feeling that they will. And that's, again, one of the reasons we're able to be paid staff now, is thanks to that. Oh, and I'm sorry, too. This is a big one. Mercy Foundation has been huge. Not only have they helped as far as they had a group that was able to organize some donations for like kitchen appliances for us to give out, and we had that available, but also they've helped us out with some grant writing as well as some overhead costs. So Mercy Foundation has been wonderful. And also Roseburg Rotary has been great too. You know, I think I told you before that they did a great drive at Christmas, and for Christmas gifts for the kids that were families affected by the fires. And they're also reaching out to continue to help in other ways as well, like with the appliances and with rebuilding and those sorts of things. So Roseburg Rotary has been also a great local organization that's provided a huge help for these families.
As all of this was getting started in the aftermath of the fires, one of the officials from the Federal Emergency Management Agency told me and really emphasized the fact that you've got to look at this as a very long-term comeback for that area, for everything to get back, you know, properties restored, homes rebuilt, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any state and federal financial help that's going into this yet?
Yeah, so in the very immediate response, of course, we started helping people until FEMA had people boots on the ground. FEMA was able to, I think, provide, to an extent, some help for some people, specifically uninsured people. They were able to provide some assistance with. And then I believe that at the same time, the county, as the county of Douglas County affected by the wildfire, was also able to apply in another avenue to FEMA for some of that assistance. But, you know, there's been some big, I don't know exactly the right way to say it, but, you know, like, we didn't get the housing. You know, we were hoping we were going to be able to get some of the temporary housing that FEMA sometimes can provide, and we didn't get that qualified, or I'm not sure exactly how or why we didn't, but we didn't. So there was some FEMA help for people, and we are working on several SCLAD revitalization, several different grants or state contracts. The state of Oregon has been working to develop caseworkers to assist the families that were affected. Of course, thankfully, our families haven't had to wait, you know, for the state of Oregon to get a contract together and put it out and get back for people to start, you know, caseworking for them. We've been doing it since, you know, the very first week of the fires and trying to help where we can. And so there are grants we're applying for. There's state contracts that we're applying for that we're hoping to be able to help, you know, individuals affected by the fire, but the Clyde community as well. So those are some of the other things that we're working on.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More with Abby Malik when we come back and talk Clyde revitalization. They interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1247 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, News Radio 1240, KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1 later today. KQEN Local Talk at 4. It's True Wealth. David Littlejohn and Katie Shook from Littlejohn Financial Services. On Inside Douglas County tomorrow, we'll have State Representative Cedric Hayden on with us. Abby Malik from Clyde Revitalization. Talking about all the work that's going on east of Roseburg in the Clyde area and up the North Umpqua to try to help folks out that have been severely, life-altering situation there for those folks, who many of whom lost all. Abby, what's your latest estimate as to exactly how many homes ended up being destroyed?
We were at, I think, about 153.
Wow.
And so, of course, you know, there was more properties than that that had more damage, you know, to structures there. But as far as homes destroyed, that's where we were at with that. I think that it was closer to properties affected was closer to about 190.
So are very many folks back on their properties at all in RVs or campers?
There are some. Those that were able to get some cleanup done already and have gotten their site to the point where they were able to get some RVs up there, there are some. But I would say the majority of them have not. They're still waiting on, a lot of them actually are waiting on this cleanup to be done for the phase two ash and debris by ODOT. But as far as those that, you know, are able to get the trailers up there and have some sort of a spot with any sort of utilities to them, they are there, but it would just be a handful of them.
So is anyone actually rebuilding yet?
Yeah, there are also, a very few people, you know, those that were fully insured and have the capabilities. For example, there's a contractor who has a pretty, you know, good-sized contracting business that usually works out of town, and his place was one of the ones that was lost. And so they already got, you know, boots on the ground, did their cleanup, started getting excavating and rebuilding done, I want to say back in December. So there are a few of those that are getting rebuilt, or even, you know, rebuilding maybe a shop to be able to put the trailer in and maybe live out of both until they're able to start, you know, getting the home site prepared and the homes rebuilt or placed.
Is when you look at the landscape, does it look a lot like it did right after the fire, or are you seeing some signs of pre-spring growth at all?
Yeah, there is a little bit of some pre-spring growth. Not an abundance, maybe like you would normally see. It's still overwhelmingly that kind of the devastating picture, the stark, you know, I'm sure you've seen some of the pictures where it's pretty stark, burnt trees. And of course, there's a lot of trees cut down along the roadways, but there, you know, there's a little bit of the spring growth starting to kind of push its way up. So I guess it's a little bit of sign of hope for it.
I know that when I come in early in the morning, sometimes there are log trucks headed that direction, and sometimes around 6 a.m. when I leave the office for a bit, I see them coming back down. It sounds like a lot of rigs are still up there doing cleanup of trees, et cetera.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember the last time I've seen this many log trucks in and out of Clyde, and There's a lot of contractors that are set up at the old mill site property there. And some of that is like Pacific Power still has a substantial amount of crew up there working on clearing power line easements and working on, you know, repairs where they are. So they have subcontractors up there too that have been working for them as far as cleaning up properties. And then you have private logging, you know, loggers that are up there logging people's properties, as well as some of the timber properties that were getting logged. So you have, you know, kind of a combination of things going on, as well as people who have gone out and hired their own cleanup to be done. And then finally the ash. So there's a lot of industrial traffic going on in Glide, between Glide and up the river towards Susan Creek, and a lot of log trucks with a lot of logs coming down from the highway.
Is rebuilding looking like a longer process than originally thought?
Yeah, and when you mentioned FEMA, they had given us a number initially of 7 years, and I was like, originally I was like, no way. But, you know, little things like, for example, this phase two ash and debris cleanup, that we were told that that was going to be started in December, and that they were going to be able to do multiple counties at one time, and they've just started it in the last month. So, you know, even that process has already slowed way down. So people, I think it'll depend, likely, with each family is going to be a little bit different. And of course, you know, you have some situations where people weren't going to be able to get back to where they were. Maybe they were renting a manufactured home and the manufactured home was lost, and the homeowner, you know, wasn't going to move forward with having a manufactured home back there again. Maybe they were selling the property. So some of those people have been able to move on, and they've relocated, and they're set up in a new situation. And so they are more likely considered to be recovered than other people. But there's going to be a lot of people across the board from, you know, recovered sooner than later. And I think the process is going to be much longer than maybe we had originally hoped. But we're basically in it for the long haul, and we're planning on being there until everybody's as recovered as they feel like they can be, essentially.
You've got a town hall coming up. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so for several months, we've had all this information that we really want to get out to everybody, and it's been hard because, you know, you have COVID, so it's hard to find a place to get together, and everybody is, you know, so busy with trying to get their cleanup coordinated and what the next step is. And so we've actually been able to secure an area, and so we're having a town hall meeting for the Glide Fire families, meaning the people who have been verifiably lost their homes, that are still trying to deal with that. And we have a, because of COVID, kind of a maximum capacity of 55 people. It is next, I believe it's Thursday, March 25th at 6:00 in the Fellowship Hall of the Glide Baptist Church, which is located on Glide Loop Road, right adjacent to the old middle school gym. And again, because we are kind of a max capacity, 55 people, and we are limiting it to 2 people per household, and they have to pre-register just so we have an idea of where to limit it. And people can contact our case manager, Alicia, at either 541-671-0455 or her email, which is Alicia, E-L-I-S-H-A, at gliderev.com, and get kind of pre-registered with her so we have an idea of where we're at capacity-wise. We are also going to be offering a Zoom link so that we will be able to have the meeting via Zoom, and people can watch that way if they aren't able to come, or, you know, would prefer not to due to COVID. So those are 2 options, and even if that's the case, they can contact us so we can email them the Zoom link for that. And at this town hall meeting, we're going to have a lot of information as far as what our organization, as the Archie Creek Long-Term Recovery Group, has been doing and will continue to do, and services that we're continuing to hope to provide for our Glide families. And then we're also going to have a representative from ODOT there to talk about the ash and debris cleanup, an update on that. And we've also been in a meeting with NeighborWorks, Umpqua NeighborWorks, as far as what programs they might be able to develop for helping people to rebuild. And so they're going to have a rep there, and a couple guys from the county.
If people want to connect with the meeting, what's the phone number they can call to get more information?
Yeah, it's 541-671-0455.
All right. out of time for now. Abby Malik from Glide Revitalization, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.